morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. This is our special guest star. This is Anna. She's one of my best friends. And she's experienced something recently that we think is very profound. And when we shared it, or she shared it with Brad and I, we felt that it was really important and timely to share it on God's story. So we just want to thank you, Anna, for being open and real and being willing to share kind of something that's really been impactful in your life. And so with that, I'm going to let her have it.
All right. Well, my goal in this is really just to be really honest. I will probably get emotional. I can actually feel it a little bit now. For those who really know me, that's not a typical thing, but with the Lord, it seems to be. My goal is to just be honest and tell you about the goodness of God. And I'm hoping that you can glean something out of this that will encourage you, or maybe just shed light on a different part of the Lord that you haven't seen before. But last week, a week from today, I had an experience, and it was actually deliverance for me. Mm-hmm. And
were you watching a God story?
Yeah, to give you a little bit of a backdrop, I had kind of been in a funk for 2 weeks. I was just really irritated, angry, disappointed in a lot of relationships, just kind of getting that feeling of I'm fed up.
Sure. Like none of us have ever been there before.
You know, just being really honest, you get to those places when you're frustrated, but you don't want to, quote, give up, right? So you're like, I'll just clock in and just check the box and do my minimum because I'm really just tired of everything. And that's where I was at. And usually, you know, at least I can pull myself out of a funk in a
sure,
couple of days.
Sure.
But it was probably a week or two, and it seemed to get progressively worse. And so it was Tuesday night last week. I think it was 10:30 at night. I'm a mom of a toddler.
And I'm a mom-to-be.
Yes. And I'm expecting, and I help at my church, and I have a full-time job. So anytime I listen to God stories, it's always late at night when everybody's asleep. So it's around 10:30, and I am angry. I am irritable. I am just done. And I'm laying there, and I was a little behind, so I was catching up, and I went to episode 126. And so when I turned it on, I started crying. Now, I was only 5 minutes into it. And I just started crying, and my mind started going crazy. I could just feel something physically hovering over my head and my shoulders, and it clicked as I'm crying. Oh my goodness, this is not a funk. I've been tormented. That's why I couldn't, quote, get out of it. And it was to the point where my mind started spinning and felt like I was going crazy, and the crying intensified. I didn't hear a word after 5 minutes in about anything, but God's stories was still playing on my phone. All of a sudden, I see a picture of myself as a little girl. I didn't have the easiest childhood. There was a lot of abuse. There was a lot of trauma. And the Lord actually took me back to a picture of when I was little, and I saw myself sitting in my room screaming out of pain and anger with just tears running down my face. And all of a sudden, in that moment when I saw that vision, that picture, I had this undeniable urge where I just wanted to yell. And I thought, is this the anger that I had been feeling for the past 2 weeks?
It was bringing you back to those emotions you felt as a child.
Yes, it was like the perfect storm where the Lord allowed all this to stir up. And then when I had turned on God's stories, there was such a spirit of deliverance on it that whatever was coming out of my phone was literally agitating this thing that was tormenting me, and it was actually coming out. It was starting to just manifest. So my husband's asleep and it's getting intense. I need to scream. So next thing I know, I'm grabbing my phone and I'm rushing out of the room and I'm heading into the living room and sitting on the couch. And I'm screaming, but I'm trying to contain my screaming. Mm-hmm. I'm crying profusely. The next feeling I had, other than the anger, you know, gave me another picture. And it was me saying, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. There was no escape. And I'm just crying and crying. Now, in my head, this is happening, and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on?
Am I losing my mind?
Someone please check me in somewhere, because I have no idea. It was so intense. It was like, press play. Oh, here we go. And I had no explanation why. I didn't know why this was happening.
You're basically by yourself.
Yes, I'm by myself in the living room, and I'm like, don't wake up the 2-year-old and the husband if you can, you know? And so I'm just having this next feeling of I don't want to be here anymore. But occasionally, it's so weird. It was like my spirit man knew my phone had to stay on. So as I'm weeping and I'm crying and I'm
And you're still
screaming,
hearing Brad's voice in the background?
I'm making sure it's on play, because there was something in me that knew, doesn't matter if you're listening to the words, make sure your phone is still on, because what's coming out is making this come out. And I knew if I had pressed stopped, it would have stopped.
Wow.
I knew that. I knew that. Make sure it's on. But I'm crying and screaming, so I can't really hear. So I'm occasionally looking down like, okay, it's on. It's on. And finally, after some time, I literally physically felt something just
lift
off of me, like just come off.
And what did it feel like? Just something heavy that's now no longer like a
honestly
weight?
This thing had been in my life for so long, because you know it came in through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It had been in my life so long that it wasn't the feeling of heaviness lifting. It literally felt like there was this big hole in me. Like it was such a,
when it came off you felt like an empty?
Like it had been taken out of me.
Uh-huh.
And it had been there so long that I was so aware that something was not there anymore.
It was familiar to you.
Yes, almost as if, if somebody cut a limb off. And
sure.
I'm used to having this limb. It's always been here. I have no recollection of it not ever being here. And it just felt like something is missing. Almost like the feeling of being naked. Something is just
not right.
This is awkward. This is strange. So as I was, calmed down and in a place of peace, sitting there on the couch, and I'm like, what
just happened?
What just happened to me? What in the world was that? I didn't even know what it was.
Sure.
I didn't even know what was happening. And instantly, it was like the Lord gave me two downloads. One, and you know, I believe he did this because I was really struggling with relationships and disappointment, is that we're never to judge people. That we're always to be kind to people. And that when we are kind to people, no matter what they do, no matter what they've done, that we release repentance and conviction and actually give other people the
freedom.
Opportunity to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Just like his kindness leads us to repentance and gives
our
us the
kindness.
Offer. It's the same thing.
Wow. It's hard. It's hard to do that. But if we can see the freedom that we can then extend the opportunity to someone else through our kindness, that may make it easier for us to be more kind when, you know, we're all in situations where someone does us wrong or doesn't treat us well. And, you know, I know for me, you want to revert back and give them a taste of their own medicine, which is not what you're supposed to do. But yeah, by treating them with kindness and taking the high road, it actually, like you said, releases freedom and opportunity for them to repent.
Or we feel like maybe it's my job to confront this thing, or, you know, I need to change you. Or
justice, that's not right. I'm all a big exactly. thing about that's not right.
You know, I need to address this because you wronged me.
Right.
Instead of just releasing kindness and allowing the Lord to actually come into this relationship and invade this relationship, because you are releasing kindness just like He releases kindness. And that we are to, the only thing we are allowed to judge, He told me very clearly, was anything that goes against love. That is the only thing that we are allowed to judge. But we are never to judge wow. people. And it was just so clear, and I was able to just separate all the junk of, you know, how the Lord sees people and all the junk of, you know, what they did, what they didn't do, what they should have done. And then the next download I got, it's very strange. It's almost like my eyes were opened and I physically looked at my house and I thought, my house is really, really clean. And this will make sense in a minute. I'll explain. But there was something strange and off about it. Like, it wasn't a positive thing. It was like
sterile.
It was sterile. Like, wow. And I'm the clean freak. I, you know, honestly didn't realize how neurotic my behavior, you know, was, but the Lord said to me, you are the house. You clean you and disinfect you and bleach you and scrub you and you kill everything in sight to perfect you. And, I was like, oh my goodness, I really do. I'll try to not get too emotional so I can keep talking, but because of the trauma in my childhood. Sorry.
You're okay. You're doing good. Some things in your childhood you couldn't control.
Right.
And but your house and your cleanliness, you could.
Well, it's that, but it's also... you know, I've always had this real big fear of making a mistake. Mm. What if it's off?
What if it's not right?
What if I miss it? What if it's not enough? And, you know, the Lord made me as a person of excellence, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a part of who I am. I like to do things well. I like to make things beautiful. I like to see things done well. I put my heart into everything. But it had gotten to the point in my life where my perfectionism...
controlled you.
It really wasn't perfectionism as much as it was just fear. And it was this spirit that was like a Pharaoh that, you know, that had put me in bondage. And I worked like a workhorse. You know, I was promoted to general manager at the age of 20 with no college degree. Every job I've ever left in the work world, they've always had to hire two full-time and possibly another part-time to replace me because my production level was so high and I was so neurotic about perfection that literally I could not stop. And it was not a good thing. I would probably be in a, you know, the employee's nightmare, but the employer's dream. You know, like, oh, Anna, we don't even have to pay her that much because she does this on her free time. Anyway, the Lord basically showed that about me, and that how I sterilize my home is how I sterilize me. And He wanted to deliver me from that. Well, when I went to bed, I woke up the next morning. Now, listen, I'm a routine person. I have a lot of responsibility. I'm a full-time mom that stays home. I assist my husband in real estate. I stage properties, and I help with a worship team at church. Cooking, cleaning, laundry. My plate's full. So when I wake up in the morning, this girl has routine. She clicks in. Everything is routine because that's how I get all this stuff done.
And it's also been your comfort, too. You've gotten comfort probably in that routine.
Yes, because I got so much, what's the word I'm looking for?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction, value, security from my ability to produce.
An identity.
Yes. Yes, very much so. So I wake up the next morning, I can feel the hole. I can't kick into gear.
It's like you're paralyzed?
I can't. Yeah, I can't go back to what I used to do every day.
Did you want to?
At this point, that next morning, I felt so awkward,
mm-hmm.
so weird, so not like
yourself,
myself that I've known, but it wasn't the true me.
Mm.
You know, I allowed this thing to operate in my life. You know, it had been in my life so long and had controlled me so long that now it was gone. I woke up and it's like, what am I supposed to do now?
Did you have, when you woke up in the morning, did you have understanding or did you receive any type of revelation of what that actually was? Like, was it a spirit? Was it, you know, what was that? Was it just the enemy using your perfectionism? Did you have any, like, oh my gosh, like a light bulb moment?
To be honest with you, and I think this is a part of the deliverance, is in order to be a perfectionist, you have to have a strategy, you have to have a plan, and you have to have a blueprint, and you have to know all the answers. And I don't know all the answers. And I still to this day don't know all that he has done. And I really feel like it's an onion. It's going to have layers, and that I probably won't really start seeing deep fruit of it for a good year, because it was such a part of me and such a deep part of my life. It affected everything I did on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up and I don't know what to do. I feel awkward. I'm walking around the house and I feel like I'm either missing a limb or something is off. And it's weird because this thing is gone. And I'm asking, Lord, what do I do? Because I can't, you know, I can't click into gear. And I was having company that morning and I'm like, well, I guess I'll make my bed and get ready for company to come over. And he said, and you're not making your bed today. And I'm like,
are you was that really the Lord?
Yeah. Notes to help me remember. No, he said, you're not making your bed today. The next Excuse thing me. He asked from me, he's so kind. He just walks us through the simplest things. And it was today, you know, make your banana muffins with your son, Benjamin. He's two. He loves to bake with me. And I want you to leave your dirty dishes in the sink overnight. Okay, let me just tell you
that. That is not Anna Dewey.
I don't know. I have no memory of ever doing that. Ever. So, of course, the first thing I ask the Lord is, Lord, with your permission. Are you serious?
Yes.
Lord, with your permission, may I rinse them out with hot water and organize them in my sink?
He said no. you were trying to negotiate with the Lord.
Yeah. Like, so when I say I'm still a clean person, I'm still an organized person, I still love excellence, it's actually who I am. But what the enemy did is, you know, he tried to come in and pervert it and enslave me and become a taskmaster. But just to give you some quirky things that I would do, this is how my brain worked. And everything my hands touched, in every situation throughout the whole day, my toothbrush, after brushing my teeth, you don't just tap it dry. You have to tap it dry and you have to dry it with a towel and stick it in the toothbrush holder. Because see, what happens is if approximately 3 or 4 drops runs down, I know the type of clay that my toothbrush holder is made of, and it makes a certain film that's actually hard to get off. This is the things that go through my head. This is embarrassing, but I gave my husband a tutorial a couple of days prior to this deliverance on how to wipe his toothbrush and not just tap it. He has a lot of wisdom. He decided to just put it somewhere else. But, I mean, it's like literally every little thing. My 2-year-old, you know, he eats off his little
tray.
His tray 3 to 4 times a day. I disinfect it probably 24 times a day.
Even after you've already disinfected it?
Yes. I would vacuum 8 times a day. There's no one home. There's nothing really on the floor. If I see one crumb, it's like the whole 2,000 square feet needs to be,
cleaned.
Yeah. Baseboards, bleaching. Now, I'm doing all of this, and I still have other responsibilities. I'm exhausted. I'm always tired. I'm always miserable.
You never questioned, you never said, why am I doing this? This was just part of your routine, part of your normal daily activity.
A lot of it had to do with the trauma of my childhood. And so much of that I had even forgotten, and the Lord had to bring it back to my memory. So my mother, she would have these random fits of rage when I was young. And I love my parents. They did the best they could with what they were given. But I'm just going to share the facts of my experience. But when she would get very angry and just lose it, and it was very scary for a young girl,
sure.
I knew the only thing that appeased her was cleaning.
Mm.
So she would say, clean up, clean up, clean up. And it was, just neurotic cleaning, and it made her happy. And so that's what I did. Another memory the Lord brought back to me is, as a child, I've always been able to see spiritual things. And unfortunately, I had a lot of visitations, but they were not the positive ones. Mm-hmm. They were not the God ones. I would physically see the demonic. There was a lot of demonic visitations in our home that I would see. And my resolve, my solution as a child after that spirit would leave was, I need to clean.
Mm-hmm.
If I clean, because that thing's icky, it's not going to come back. And eventually this whole neurotic cleaning had weaved itself into my identity, to where I had to clean me. So he would come,
So because if you didn't do that, you would be afraid that you wouldn't feel him, that he wouldn't come, that he wouldn't.
When you grow up in a home of anger and you have really angry authority all the time and you never know when it's coming, and you always want to please them, and you just want them to be accepting of you.
And happy.
That really transferred a lot to how I related to the Lord. And I didn't know this, it was all subconscious, but, me physically cleaning my home is really how I treat me. Internally, I'm always, how much have I read today? Or did I do worship right? Did I miss it? I have to continue to perform at a certain level because, I need to appease you. Because something inside of me, it was all subconscious, is, obviously you're not happy enough with me. So what must I do to make you happy and accept me? But I did it. I passed. I left the dishes dirty. Oh, my gosh. I'd walk by the sink and be like, Jesus, help me. And you have no idea.
Does that mean my husband can't do it? Maybe
oh,
I can get Nate to do it.
I was secretly hoping he would see it and go, man, she must be sick. I better do the dishes. And he did. I was like, man, come on.
But more happened that day, too. More freedom that you were, or more restrictions were given to you from the Lord, right? You couldn't make your bed. You couldn't do the dishes. Wasn't there some other things? Or weren't there some other things?
Really, I think the first day was just the feeling of awkwardness at being odd and me knowing that I cannot click back into the old way of doing things. And I really had to lean on the Holy Spirit because I couldn't trust my feelings, you see, because not only did I not know what he really delivered me from, but I didn't know I even needed it. See, that's the thing about it, is when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived.
Right.
That's the whole point of deception, is I don't know that I don't know. It's like, wearing a pair of glasses that are tinted blue, and you look at life through a lens, and you honestly believe everything around you has a tint of blue, but it's not in its true color. Mm. But because it's all you know,
sure,
then that's how you live your life. And it really opened my eyes, too, and gave me more compassion for people. Because we can get so frustrated when people are in their junk or they're manifesting. We don't know why they won't get over this. And we just don't have patience. We don't realize that this is their normal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see clearly here. We really need to have compassion and release
for blind
kindness.
Spots. Mm-hmm.
This is all they know. I didn't even know I needed it. It's not like I approached the Lord and said, hi, I have this bondage thing on me that makes me a neurotic cleaner. And no, it just comes out of me and I'm like, what's happening? All I know is what's normal. The Lord's like, that's not normal. So I couldn't trust my feelings. I couldn't trust how I felt because I was so accustomed to dysfunction. I had to lean on the Lord of, okay, well, you show me what is right. You show me what is normal. Now, the next day was very hard. It was very, very hard. I woke up, I felt like I was losing my mind. I had so much anxiety. Mm. I literally would stop and just breathe. You know, I didn't complete my typical routine the day before, and now I was living in the results of that. So now the reality of the change.
Do you think that anxiety was maybe, since you had been delivered, you have this space now, do you think maybe it was the enemy's like one last stitch effort to maybe pull you back in, because anxiety is not a fruit of the Spirit? Was maybe trying to, you know, when you're anxious, I know when I'm anxious, I want to try to deal with whatever's creating the anxiety. And if I'm anxious about something, it's like, it pulls me back in. Do you think it could have been?
I think a part of it is,
like if it was making you anxious by cleaning, it would maybe make the anxiety go away. So if I make her anxious about her house not being tidy, it's gonna get her back into cleaning and bleaching.
Right, because it's familiar. It's mm-hmm. all I know. So now I'm in the unfamiliar, and that is scary, right? If you've never been here before and you don't know what this feels like, you have just lost control. And this spirit had been a part of my life for so long. I really didn't know how to operate without it. Yes. And so I was losing my mind. I had anxiety. I could feel the temptation of just click back in.
Mm.
Just, in fact, the enemy kept telling me in my mind. So I journaled everything because he kept telling me, this isn't real. This isn't happening. Because remember, I'm not really certain.
So you're on shaky ground anyway.
And mm-hmm. so the enemy, the Lord said, journal everything. Because if you don't write it down, your mind is going to convince you that this isn't really happening. And you will go back to your old ways. And so I could feel the temptation of kicking into that routine. I was doing a load of laundry, and one of the neurotic things I would do every time I do a load, which sometimes, I mean, you do a load every day if you're a mom, right? I have a front loader. It's the little detergent dispenser that you pull out.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
did you wipe it out?
So, no, it's worse. I would stick the soap into the little cup, scrape all the soap out to put it in the tray, get a disinfectant wipe and deep clean around the tray so there's no dust. Put it in. Know that there's enough soap film in the cup that I could utilize to go and hand wash the dish rag that I'm using in my sink, which would provide longevity of me having to put that in the wash as much. And I need to clean out that film.
So it's a dual purpose.
Everything is calculated, strategic. I can't just do a load of laundry. And so I'm putting the soap in, and the Lord said, you're not cleaning the tray today. Homegirl, that lost it. I already can't breathe. I feel like I'm losing control, and I can't wipe my tray. Are you serious? I mean, it was like, somebody just needs to check me in. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I actually got to such a bad place. I texted Brad. I was like, this is hell. This is terrible. I mean, this is terrible. And his response, which really helped me, was fear was trying to replace where freedom had come.
Mm.
And so I realized that this thing had left. So the enemy's like, oh, well, you know, I can't be a taskmaster utilizing this thing. Let me give you another option.
Here, let me throw fear at you.
Let me give you fear. Now let me let fear control you. You know, let's be scared that, oh, I don't know how to live my life. What am I going to do? Tell you what, let's add a little salt shake of self-pity. Let's feel sorry for yourself because you don't know what to do with your life and you're having a bad day and am I crazy?
And let me sprinkle a little judgment. People aren't going to think as highly of you if your house isn't perfect.
Yeah. Or, you know, can I do this? Or I'm crazy. I just need to go back. But it was just this, you know, you're feeling sorry for yourself. And I knew I got to get my eyes back on the Lord. And so Q, my son Benjamin, who's two, I was like, okay, he's a worshiper. We put on worship music and he dances around our kitchen island. I'm like, I got to bring out the big guns for this one. And he's, you know, he does a little chicken dance. I don't know where that comes from. I do not do that.
Probably from his auntie.
Maybe. He starts dancing around the room and he wanted the song You Satisfy by Upper Room. Mm. And I'm like, Lord, you satisfy me. Mm. What am I doing? Like, you satisfy me. You're the one who satisfies me. Not how clean everything is, not how much control I have. It's all about you. I got my joy back immediately. I started laughing. And I got to a better place.
Well, you wonder, like, you know, looking back, we can say, what if I had done this? If we can just, I'm including myself in this, when we're struggling, whether it's struggling in a relationship or struggling in finances or struggling at work, if we can stop instead of like looking, Brad describes it as navel gazing, if we can look up and say, Lord, what do you say about this? How do you see me? What do you say about me? You know, I'm just wondering if we can try to remember to do that when we're in the thrust of those situations where you were feeling like your identity was ingrained in your performance of keeping your house sterile and clean, to say, wait a second, Lord, this is how I feel like I need to please you. How do I please you? What pleases you, Lord? And maybe we would hear something like, just hanging out with you, or your smile, or something like that. And so I need to do a better job too of just asking the Lord, you know, what do you say about this situation? What do you think about the situation? How do you see me?
Mm-hmm. I think it's shocking too, if you really sit down and you ask the Lord the things that are important to him.
Oh yeah, like what do you want to pray? Like when Brad said that to me, and you know, we all pray, Lord, you know, I just pray for, you know, safety as I'm traveling. Lord, pray that, you know, the surgery goes well. Lord, pray that I can be healed. Brad taught me, have you ever thought of asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to pray about today? Mm-hmm. What's on your heart today, Lord? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I never thought of that.
And a lot of times the things that honestly, and I feel like I've been, this is something that I've been trying to live out just piece by piece, is finding out that there's a lot of things I thought was important to God that aren't at all. We can assume,
sure,
that this, you know, it sounds good. It's really religious, actually. It's not the wisdom from the Lord. We can assume, you know, this is really important to the Lord, so I'm going to do this. It's not. And then it's shocking when I actually take the time to sit and ask him what is important to him. Like now my routine is, I don't have a routine.
Yay!
And so I literally wake up in the morning and I go, so what do you want to do today?
That's awesome, Anna. Basically what we were just talking about. Yeah. That's awesome.
What do you want to do today? Because see, he knows all my responsibilities as a mom. He knows my long list. He gets it, you know? But I don't have to be enslaved. I can actually do things with joy. And if I do things his way, because his way is so much better than my way, then it doesn't feel heavy. And I've done that this week. And I've just had more joy. I've gotten so just more joy in just everyday life. And it doesn't feel heavy. And I'll even feel like, man, have I done much today? I've gotten so much done.
Well, you have so much more time. Think about the time that you have now available to spend with the Lord, to spend with your family, to spend with yourself. I mean, you must have this energy that you didn't have before because you're not being so task-oriented and burdened and laden and heavy with scrubbing and re-disinfecting and all of that. I mean,
and it's not just in the cleaning. I mean, it's I do all the finances for the business. It's in every part of my life. It's in parenting. This thing, really, the pressure that I lived under.
It was oppression.
I was being oppressed. In fact,
what do you think? Sorry to interrupt you. You had this hole. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like it's been? The Lord now has a cavity to fill. What do you think He's filled it with? Joy?
I feel like it's joy.
Can you imagine this big thing, hole that's now an opportunity for the Lord to fill with what He wants to fill with, and he fills it with joy.
Mm-hmm. I know it's joy, because when, you know, I had that bad day, and then my son Benjamin starts worshiping, the Lord's like, hey, I delivered you. Let's get happy. Let's have joy. And here's one thing I want to throw out there. One of the baits, because the enemy will throw anything at you to get your eyes off Jesus. He will paint it any color that's attractive. He wants it to look seductive. He'll even try to make it look like God. And one of the things that I realized that the Lord showed me that day was I felt like, okay, I'm, you know, being delivered of something, so I'm walking out a process. And we're all in a process to a certain extent. Process is not bad, but that's a partial truth. See, in this situation, the Lord's like, no, you're free.
You're done.
But if the enemy can convince me that I had steps that I needed to complete and I need to walk through something, once again, it's about me, it's not about the Lord, then I can actually foster this thing and say, I'm about to let you go. But I'm coddling it, mm-hmm. and I actually give it opportunity to stay, and it was bait.
And it's also self-focus.
It is self-focus, because it becomes about you again. And, you know, mm-hmm. when you deal with perfectionism, you know what happens? You always tend to overemphasize your part. You overemphasize your role.
And your expectation. I feel like when you're a perfectionist, it's almost like you're setting yourself up to fail.
Well, it's never enough.
No. I mean, I remember growing up, I used to have this little sign on my computer that said fear of failure. Mm. I had this fear of failing. Mm-hmm. And I remember once I got free of that, I ripped that sign right off. I was like, no, I'd rather, you know, like a child learning to walk, I'd rather stumble and fall than never to try.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went, I had another dream. The Lord speaks to me in dreams all the time. I went to sleep that night and I had a dream. The Lord gave me a dream. And the dream was there was two children. One that looked a lot like my son Benjamin, which represented my true self. And another was another child that was actually just demonized, just laughing wickedly. And I was trying to take care of both children. Mm-hmm. That was the dream. And the voice of the Lord basically told me, that's not you. This is not your life anymore. You just need to let that kid go and take care of the other child. And because there can be so much confusion that the enemy can use to try to come in when you feel like, once again, you feel like something has been a part of your life for so long that it is part of your identity, you know? And so the Lord had to say, that's not you. That was never you. This is you. When I woke up the next day, I was like, it all clicked. I was like, I got this. Bingo. I left dirty dishes in the sink overnight, not because he told me to, because I didn't feel like doing it.
And you're okay with it?
Oh, I was like, I am not doing that. I am not doing that. I did not wash it out with hot water and organize it.
I did not care. And before I got delivered, I call it this Cyclops. I grew up with a lot of brothers, so we do the superhero thing. But where this, you have this X-ray like vision where I could microscopically see every germ and dirt, right? Which is why I would disinfect my countertops 50 times a day. I mean, I deep cleaned my house daily, no doubt about it. And it was gone. I woke up and I'm like, man, girl, you got the cleanest house in my life. I was like, you got it going on. And I had dirty dishes in the sink. And I'm like, it is.
So your lens had changed.
It was gone.
He ripped it off.
He ripped it off. I had so much joy. But one thing I want to say too is it wasn't just my daily routine that this affected and he changed. But it changed my ability to have relationships.
Mm.
I waited a couple of days. My husband was working a lot. He was busy, and it wasn't just the kind of conversation to kind of have a peppy 10-minute talk about what happened to you, how the Lord delivered you. I always longed for a closeness in our marriage. I couldn't figure out what it was. There was like this thing, this wall.
That was preventing that from happening.
It was 11 years, and I genuinely wanted it. And that was where the frustration was. Like, why are we not as close as I know we should be and can be? What is this? And the Lord showed me.
Thank you. You're welcome.
It was that thing.
Yeah, because the enemy, there, I think one of the main tactics that the enemy uses with anything is division. It wants to separate us. Mm-hmm. You know, it wants to separate us in our relationship with the Lord. It wants to separate us with our relationships. It just wants to separate. It's because if it can isolate us, mm-hmm. it has a better chance of controlling.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was like, Lord, you know, because I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what's really happened or what was happening, or I don't understand it all. I can tell you my experience and the bits and pieces he's given to me. But unless he explains it to me, I have fired myself. I'm not going to try to figure it out. He's in charge. He can show me. But the Lord showed me that the reason why I was only capable of having relationships to a certain proximity, like there was a level where people could not get any closer, is because you don't let people in if deep down inside you believe you are severely flawed. And it's subconscious. It's not something I woke up and chose, like, stay away from me. I don't want you to really get close mm-hmm. to me because I believe I'm flawed. I never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was feeling frustrated because I feel like I'm doing everything in my power to get close and it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, but another thing too is when that thing would just ride on me and lash its whip and put pressure on me, I was so oppressed. I would turn around and then oppress my husband because I can't meet the expectations of this demon and I need your help doing it. And I would be like, well, you should probably, you know, do that, or that's not organized. And I really,
wow, so it had a ripple effect.
Oh my gosh. And, so I broke down and had to apologize to my husband and mm-hmm. say, I am so sorry that thing that was oppressing me, that I turned around and I pressed you because I was under so much oppression. I needed someone to help me make break out of straw. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh demanded it, and I'm mm-hmm. overwhelmed. And just the relationship is just, in a week, I have seen the difference.
The freedom.
Yeah, it's just the freedom. It's just, there's no push, and I don't have to push. And he can be him and I can be me. And
I'm not having to, you know, serve this wicked thing and adhere to its demands and call for backup and oppress my husband and get him to adhere to the wicked demands. And it really was a ripple effect. And but even in people, I'm not... I don't feel like I'm as afraid of people. Now, let me explain that. I don't feel fear of people, but we all do. We meet the people that they'll rub us wrong, or maybe they're pushy, or they manifest on us, or we feel like they're a little controlling, but there's something about them that we're just like, oh, I don't like that. So we do the boundary thing.
Sure.
I'm going to put a boundary up. You're not healthy. I'm going to keep you at arm's
length. It's self-preservation.
Yeah, and I'm afraid of you. I don't like that. I don't like how that makes me feel. I don't like that. So I'm going to, you know, and I don't have to do that anymore. You could just manifest. You could not like me and be mad at me. And I'm like, oh, boy, that's just not,
too bad.
That's unfortunate. It's just, but I'm not afraid of you, and I don't have to make you go away. You know, I can still be close to you and just have compassion with where you are and be kind to you and not have to change you and feel the push to figure this out. Or, it's amazing. I don't feel like I truly know all the effects of...
Well, this is so fresh. Mm-hmm. This has happened a week and a week ago. Mm-hmm. So this is, you're actually walking this out, like literally, mm-hmm. this is, you're still feeling the ripple effects, the positiveness, you know, and I feel like we hear in part and see in part, and so you may not, the Lord may not have revealed all of the fruit of all of this, and you may not know for a long period of time, but just enjoy what you're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm. And when you're a perfectionist, when you kick into perfectionist mode, you have to know everything. And part of the freedom in this is I can honestly tell you I don't know it all and it doesn't matter to me. That I know what he has said to me and I know what I've experienced and that's enough. Because the biggest thing in all of this is not just the relationship with my husband and others, but I'm closer to the Lord too. Because I don't have to go and clean myself and try to appease, and I can just be.
You can just be. Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this, funny story real quick. The other day I went to Lowe's to buy some paint and a level because we're putting some stuff up on the wall at the house, and I had a project for painting, and I realized my credit card was not in my purse. I usually typically have my diaper bag, and when I had pulled my wallet out, the credit card fell out. So I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? They tinted the paint. Oh my gosh, I felt so bad. I'm in line, I'm like, do you take checks? I don't really remember how to fill them out.
I know, right?
It's so long. I'm like, do you know what a check is? Can I use a check? And they were like, you know that paper thing?
Yeah, do you take these?
I won't do it in cursive. I know we don't write in cursive anymore. And the guy's like, yeah, sure, we take check. I'm like, really? Wow, that's incredible. I was impressed. So I filled out my check, and I handed it to him. And he runs it through, and he says it's denied. And I thought, that's impossible. One, because they don't know immediately if a check bounces. I just know that from my, you know, on the hotel industry and et cetera. But two, I know there's money in the account. So I said, the check's not bad. He said, no, it's your driver's license. And I'm like, huh?
They didn't match the addresses or?
No, they did match. He said, it says it's not valid. Are you sure you don't have another license? I'm like, no, is it good? I'm like, sir, expires 2026 on my license. You don't have another one. I'm like, why would I have another one? I don't have another one. This is my license.
Do we need another one?
Maybe I put the numbers in wrong. All right, let me read it out to you. We tried like three times, and he's like, it's declining because of your license. I'm like, oh my.
Was it really because you're on like the most wanted like FBI list?
We can do that next week.
I'm teasing.
I'm like, are you kidding? Now, I have used a check before, and I've never had a problem, especially with my license. I'm like, my license? That doesn't make sense. They said, your license is invalid.
So you couldn't purchase?
No, I left frustrated. But the funny thing is, before I left, I found this old gift card to Starbucks, and I was supposed to meet a friend after Lowe's. Found it in a stack of papers. I don't treat myself to Starbucks very often. Gift cards are very precious in our household. Had a Christmas tree on it. No idea where this thing came from. My husband's like, it's empty. Don't even bring it. I happen to have it in my purse. I'm like, dear God, please let there be money on that gift card. I am so frustrated. It turns out I get to Starbucks. They're like, yeah, you've got an $11 balance on your card. I'm like,
11.
Thank you, Jesus. I can have coffee, you know. Anyway, as I was preparing for today, like, Lord, what do you want to talk about, et cetera, et cetera, he showed me what the Lowe's things was all about. And I busted out laughing. And I was buying two items, a level and paint. And the reason why they rejected my purchase was because they said my license was invalid. The Lord said, no longer are you known for how you perfect things with your level?
Wow.
Or the work that you complete, because that is invalid identity. And that's why they wouldn't take it, because I didn't want you bringing it home. He said, but what you are created for is connection.
That's why you have to start in Starbucks.
And I pay for that bill. I paid for that bill. And I was like, wow. Isn't that
crazy? So
the funny thing, the side story to all of it, though, is I come home and I'm like the happiest person ever. The old Anna would have been super frustrated about everything. I didn't get my level. This is
crooked. Now I gotta go back to the store.
Let me tell you, because we had something crooked on the wall. The old Anna, it could have been Category 5 hurricane. I would be driving trying to find the store.
To get that level.
To get a level, because I needed to straighten something. And
it's still...
it's crooked. It's been crooked for days. It looks...
That's okay.
I don't care. It's hilarious to me. I'm like, do you see that? It's so bad. It's a curtain rod. The curtain is offset. It's so bad. But it has been days, and I'm just like, I don't know when we're going to eventually fix that. And there's just so much freedom, you know. But what I want to do, in closing, is the God Story episode that really had that spirit of deliverance on it for me.
126.
And the Lord told me, hey, I want you to go to Psalms 126.
That's cool.
And remember, he's talking to me about joy.
Yep. Well, that's what's in your hole now. You don't have a hole anymore, but that's right. What filled your hole.
And I love it in the Passion Translation, I guess because it just sounds so happy. But it says, Psalms 126 in the Passion Translation, it was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. We laughed and laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in, saying, the Lord has done great miracles for them. Yes, he did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory. May streams of your refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again. Those who sow their tears as seeds will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. They may weep as they go out carrying their seed to sow, but they will return with joyful laughter and shouting with gladness as they bring back armloads of blessings and a harvest overflowing. So I just want to say and encourage everyone watching that the goodness of God can overshadow any situation that you're in. And if you're in a situation where you feel powerless or overwhelmed or you don't have the answer to, you know, He is the answer. The answer is actually a person who is with you. And I pray, Lord, that You would set us free from our old lenses.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that You would just set us free from our old lenses. And Lord, anyone that deals with trauma from their childhood, I just ask, Lord, that You would bring healing to those places.
Yes, Lord.
And I just want to encourage you guys that the goodness of God, there was nothing I did. I didn't ask for this. I didn't know to ask for this.
He just did it.
He just did it. I didn't do anything. I'm not still doing anything. I'm just being with the Lord. Hey, what do you want to do today? Just being connected with the Lord and just being free. And so I would just encourage you to turn your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Get your joy back again. And just let Him handle the things that maybe you're carrying that He wants to take from you and that He wants to handle.
And ask him how He sees you. You know, we all think we have a certain identity. You know, Anna's was in her performance, and mine used to be in my job, and we all have our thing, but that's not how He created us, and that's not how He sees us. And, you know, I've shared before, you know, I thought my identity was in my work, and once my work ended, He was able to birth in me a creative part that was dormant, that has now blossomed in writing this children's book. So, you know, I encourage you guys to ask the Lord, how do You see me? My identity is in You, but what do You see in me? How do You see me? We hope this helps. I just want to thank you, Anna. It's almost 10 o'clock. Just thank you for taking the time and being raw and open. And I'm so happy for you in this season that you're in. And I'm so thankful for the Lord in freeing you from this bondage that you've been in. And I just want that for everyone. I want that for everyone. So we love you guys. We thank you for listening and sharing and any of your comments. And we'll be here next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Please join us. Brad will be sharing. And we love you guys. We thank you for your support. And we hope you have an awesome day.